17th century, at least early 17th, but I have a feeling that it was popular long before, because the melodies that Jacob van Eyck liked to jazz up in the early 1600s were generally around for quite a long time. He did this to hymns and drinking songs and familiar art melodies of the time, classical music, folk Christmas hymns, and so on. Jacob van Eyck was a blind flutist who also played the bell tower in Utrecht in Holland, was paid by the state to go around and tootle his flute wherever there needed to be a little bit of musical substance. He was there tootling or expressing himself through the airwaves. They didn't have radio in these days, but they had the bell tower. That was the next best thing. And van Eyck played a little flute like this and also a recorder. He says that they can, all of these melodies, of which there are more than 100 in this collection of his works, could be played on either one. And this Christmas carol is called O Heilig Zalig Bethlehem. Is there anybody that speaks Dutch? I think it boils down to O Holy City of Bethlehem. Is that it? That middle word, Zalig, or whatever, I never heard that one before.
Thank you.
In Holland, there was quite a fad for this thing. It's pictured in a lot of early 17th century paintings, and that's how we know quite a bit about music from that period, because obviously there were no recordings and there's very little written material that's handed down through that many centuries anyway. We know quite a bit more as you come closer to the present. But we do know from pictures that this was very popular in Holland, but in most of Europe, this was the more popular size for the Renaissance flute. You know, just like today, you've got the normal old modern flute, and then a bass flute, and piccolo, and alto flute. Those other three you see very seldom. Actually in those days, it was more common for instruments to play in consorts together, and so perhaps a little bit more common to see the bass and the treble varieties of various instrument families. But in any case, this was the usual size of the flute, and maybe the reason is that this one gives the tone that's most like the tone of human voices, this particular size. Then the rest of the family, in the flute family, there were only three. This took both the tenor and the alto roles. If flutes played in consorts together, just choral music, as instruments often did in those days, this flute would have taken both the tenor and the alto role, and then the little soprano flute or descant and the bass, which is still a fifth lower. This is by a musician who was very active at St. Mark's Cathedral. Many of you might have been there. If you've been in Venice, you've certainly seen St. Mark's on the big square there. And many musicians were active there. I would love to be because of the sound in the place. But Bassano was a virtuoso on various wind instruments, also the cornetto, which is like a sort of a curved recorder with a trumpet mouthpiece. And it's likely that he might have played or heard these pieces played on the flute as well. They're for an unspecified instrument and were published in 1585 in Italy. So Giovanni Bassano, this is Richard Carr. Thank you. This is the flute of about 80 years later. And so far, all of these are copies. In fact, all of them, most of them that I'll be playing tonight are copies by a friend of mine in Innsbruck, Rudolf Toots is his name. Actually, his name is either Toots or Toots. Either way, brings an endearing feeling to my mind of the flutes and good old Rudy. It's something in between, Toots in German, T-U-T-Z. This is a copy of a flute by Jacques Hotteterr, who was a very well-known French flutist and one of the first flutists to play what is known today as the Baroque flute in a solo. He also wrote much music for the flute, built his own flutes and bagpipes. Apparently, a piece like this, it's entitled Echoes, was in fashion in those days. There's a piece like it for lute as well, very similar to this. Thank you. On the other end of the Baroque period, the last and most famous of the flutists was Joachim Quantz, who wrote a very well-known treatise that just talks about just about anything under the sun that is remotely musical, but with a lot of common sense and very informative material for people that are interested in researching how they played Baroque music. But he was a great flutist, and he was the teacher of another great flutist who also introduced the potato into Europe, or at least got Germans to really like it. He had to, because they were dying of famine, and that's Frederick the Great, who also killed a lot of people in his career, King of Prussia. But he was a great flutist, and in between those various activities, he came home and played his flute, and Quantz was the only one who was allowed to say tisk tisk or even bravo. You know, no one else could comment on his performance except Quantz, who was also the highest paid musician on his staff for many years, I think two or three decades. These are three caprices by Quantz, and this is a copy, again by Rudy, of a flute by Quantz that is in the Library of Congress. And it's been very interesting for me to have the original right in front of me. My wife and I have been in D.C. for a couple of months during the fall, and I would go into the Library of Congress every day and look at all the music, but also all of the flutes. And it's important also for Rudy, for players to compare the copies with the original. Thank you. Well, perhaps at the very end of Quantz's lifetime, in the 1760s, they punched a few more holes into the flute and added a little bit of length and a couple of keys down here and had what Mozart knew as the flute and also Beethoven. This is a little caprice by Anton Stamitz from probably the 1780s or 90s. This is the flute from 1820, and all of those are copies by Rudy, but this is an original made in London by George Rudall, whose name is familiar to many modern flutists because he joined with Rose in 1821, so this can be dated as at least from 1820 or before. Otherwise, Rudall and Rose would be stamped here. And then later he joined with Cart, and Rudall Cart is a flute company that lasted well into the 20th century. This is a little prelude by Kuller, who was a flutist. And this was written a year before the, or at least published, a year before the flute was born, in 18. Thank you. I.T. Norton was a composer in the States. Maybe he played the flute, I don't know, but he did compose some music, at least for song, for voice that I've seen, and I think something for voice, harp, and flute. I tried to check it out at the Library of Congress, but they kept not having it, so I'm going to have to keep trying. But this is I.T. Norton, who published this in 1829 in Philadelphia, making it some of the very earliest, if not the earliest, chunk of American flute music. He wrote these variations on Yankee Doodle. Well, the whole title is The National Air of Yankee Doodle, arranged with variations for the flute in big, pretty letters, and dedicated to Pierce Butler Esquire by I.T. Norton. Thank you. I wonder what this is going to sound like myself. From 1820, and we were poring over it, and I was trying to decide if I should buy it or not.
I said go ahead.
So I did. This is a transcription of the some music by Debussy. Dwayne knows more about it than I do. piano duo. And it's called En Bateau, in the boat. On the boat.
Like coming up to Chelan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
have one more, a Bach sonata in E flat major, three movements. Allegro, Stichina, and Allegro.
Thank you. Thank you.